Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, July 4th, 2021. Pastor John Melke.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
In the name of Jesus, in whose name we bow every nation under earth and under heaven, to him be all glory and honor on this Independence Day. The words I have selected for the Independence devotion is from the Psalms, Psalm 33. You'll see it on the screen. The Lord wrecks the plans of the nations. He hinders the intentions of the peoples. The plan of the Lord stands forever. The intentions of his heart stand through all generations. How blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose to be his possession. From heaven, the Lord observes. He sees all the children of Adam. From his throne room, he looks at all the inhabitants of earth. He alone is the one who shapes all their hearts. He understands all their deeds. No king is saved by the great size of his army. No hero is rescued by his great strength. You cannot rely on a horse to save you. Its great strength will not deliver you. Look, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who wait for his mercy. He will deliver their souls from death. He keeps them alive in famine. Our souls wait for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Yes, in him our heart rejoices because we trust in his holy name. May your mercy, O Lord, be on us, even as we wait confidently for you. So what kind of memories do you have of past 4th of July celebrations in your family? Or what kind of new memories are you making this weekend since we didn't really celebrate much of an Independence Day last year? Growing up in Michigan, one of my fond memories on 4th of July weekend was attending with my father and my brothers the fast-pitch softball tournament along the shores of Lake Michigan. And interestingly enough, today is the 50th year of that tournament. And yesterday, my brother who was there sent me a link so I could watch Facebook Live the tournament. It was pretty cool. Now, that may not mean a whole lot to you, but I have fond memories of my father and that experience. And last year, I said to my wife and Josiah, why don't we head over to the Black Hills? They're having fireworks and everything. Let's go to the Black Hills. It's been 20 years since we were there with our first two boys. Josiah, you've never been there. Let's go. Yeah, we didn't go. And we're not going this year because, of course, I'm preaching, and, of course, there are no fireworks this year. So what kind of memories do you have of the 4th of July observance or celebrations? My guess is yours are a little more exciting than mine. Probably involves picnics, parades, fireworks. As we hear these words of the psalm writer, we don't know who wrote these words of the psalm other than they're inspired by the Holy Spirit. We find that they remind us of the blessings we receive from our God. So our thought for today is may the Lord bless our nation, bless us and our nation, as he blesses us with all kinds of benefits and, of course, blesses us with his forgiveness and love. As you heard those words from the psalmist, you might have recognized that who these words were spoken to first. They were spoken to the Old Testament Israelite, that nation where God had designed them to be the Savior to come from that tree. This nation was whom the Lord spoke to initially these words of the psalm, which means that they were a nation under God, a nation under his rule, and church and state kind of went hand in hand with that particular nation. But it does not talk about America in these words. It's just talking about the children of Israel. That's the context. But please note that, of course, we recognize in today's world that all other nations recognize the difference between church and state, unlike the nation of Israel. The separation of church and state is real, as God designed it. There's different roles and different responsibilities, as you well know. The state has a responsibility to protect its citizens. The government has a responsibility to protect us, to keep us free. The church has a responsibility to protect our souls. And of course, as you heard from Bruce reading the lesson from Romans chapter 13, we are reminded that the state has a responsibility to make sure that we're not going to do wrong to keep us in line. They have the thing called the government to keep us in check with the laws and rules and regulations that exist. That's why we agree with the governments who provide capital punishment as a force to protect those from doing wrong. But at the same time, recognize that the church is separate from the government, and the church has a need to protect souls as it uses the gospel in word and sacrament, the means of grace to protect our eternal souls. So as we hear these words of the psalmist, recognize that there's different roles for the church and for the government. And as we recognize those differences, we recognize that God still uses the government to bless us, to give us so many kinds of benefits. We could go through a whole laundry list of benefits for sure. We begin with the fact that we have the benefit of coming to church without the threat of being put in jail because we're worshiping our God today. We have the benefit of knowing that we live in a nation where we have been prosperous for many years, despite maybe someone's having a hard time finding a job or being able to provide their family with food. Yeah, we have an abundance. We are blessed in this land and know that we are the world's superpower militarily, and we have volunteer men and women fighting to protect our freedoms. As we hear those words of our God, we recognize that God has established the government to protect us. And I recognize that not all governments are true and correct. Not even our own government can we rely on them to always do what God's will is, as we well know. But we remind of the Apostle Peter's words, of our desire to follow God's government in keeping with his will. Peter writes, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, honor the king." So you see that we see the benefit of the government to take care of our protection of our needs for this life. And we also recognize that our Lord God wants us to be free. Be free in the way we carry out our responsibilities for him, which means that in our freedom, we don't agree with when the church is told to do something that the Bible says we should not be doing. If the church is told by the government to stop preaching, do we stop preaching? What did the Apostle Peter say? We must obey God rather than men. So we continue to share the gospel. We don't revolt against the government. We just don't listen to their command to stop the preaching of the gospel. That is God's word that supersedes the government. So you recognize that we have a responsibility to honor the government when it's not against God's word. But breaking federal law is dishonoring God. Breaking state and local laws is breaking God's law and disrespecting God. For example, I was driving here on Thursday. I told the group on Thursday night, I'm on my way to church and I'm speeding. I actually set the speedometer for 63. Oops. I quickly changed it down to 57. I'm still speeding, and then a state trooper went by, and I realized, oh, that's right. We're in a state or part of the county of the states where they're watching us, monitoring us to keep us safe and secure. I better keep that speed limit down to 55 or something. I'm going to be in trouble. I disrespect my government when I disobey those laws, those speeding laws. They're there to protect me, to keep me safe and secure. And the fact is that God has blessed us with so many good things from our government. I could probably ask you to go around the room and come up with all kinds of different ways in which we find ways in which we are benefited from our God through our government. You think of the army or other national entities like that. You think of the police officer, the fire department. Think of all the blessings we receive from our God. And of course, as Bruce pointed out in the Romans chapter 13, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to support our government by paying our taxes. Yes, paying our taxes. For me, I pay quarterly taxes. I don't always do that with excitement and joy, but God says pay your taxes. That means pay your taxes even if they seem to be higher than you think they should be, because the government is using those taxes to provide for that police officer to be there to patrol your neighborhood, to protect you through the fire department. To recognize that you have a military that's being serviced by you through your taxes so that you can be safe in all your freedoms. And the list can go on and on of all the ways in which we pay our taxes willfully and cheerfully as a way to show honor and respect to our God and to our government. And today, on this 4th of July, don't forget your veterans. Thank the veterans that have served your country and provide freedom for us as a result. Don't forget to thank those who are serving selflessly for the nation's kingdom as we think about them serving in the war today. The war on terror is still going on, even though we are departing from certain areas of the world. Thank those who have committed themselves and their lives to stand before their boss and defend our country, the military officials that take care of us. Pray for your government. Pray for your governor. Pray for your president. Pray for the officials that serve in your place. Pray for your mayor. All blessings and benefits from our God. Because may God bless our nation and us as we thank him for those benefits from our land. 245 years ago, 56 courageous men signed that document called the Declaration of Independence. As they signed that document, they wanted to be independent from one nation, but as they closed their document, they also showed their dependence on a supreme being, on God. They wrote these words: with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And my guess is over this weekend, you've probably heard about all those ways in which those men sacrificed themselves for our freedom. Some of them lost their lives in the war. Some of them lost sons in the war. Some of them lost their houses, burned to the ground. Sacrifices were made for our freedom. May the Lord bless us and our nation as we receive those benefits from our God. But the psalm writer goes on to say some more important words to us than benefits for our nation. He talks about the blessings for our forgiveness from our God in the last part of our text. No king is saved by the great size of his army. No hero is rescued by his great strength. You cannot rely on a horse to save you. Its great strength will not deliver you. Look, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who wait for his mercy. He will deliver their souls from death. He keeps them alive in famine. Our souls wait for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Yes, in him our heart rejoices because we trust in his holy name. May your mercy, O Lord, be on us, even as we wait confidently for you. Yes, may the Lord God bless us and our nation as we find in him forgiveness and love. I found it quite remarkable that in 1777 and again in 1780, our leaders in Washington decided to import 20,000 Bibles in order to share them throughout our land. If you know anything about our American history, you go to the Washington, D.C. area, you'll see all kinds of sights and sounds, and you'll see witness of their trust in God. In case you didn't know this, the Ivy League schools, Harvard, Yale, Dartmouth, and so forth, all were created to share the gospel in their early beginnings. They were the ones that were training men to go out and be preachers in our nation's early history. If you go to the government buildings and statues around the nation's capital, you'll see the word God inscribed all over the place. On the nation's capital, you have a small room for private prayer with stained glass windows depicting religious symbols and scenes. If you go to the Supreme Court, of course, there's the huge painting of the Ten Commandments. The Washington Monument, while it has a huge shrine to the Masonic Lodge, it does have a number of religious emblems and pictures there as well. If you go to the Library of Congress, you have numerous scripture passages listed throughout it, including these words, which you may have heard earlier in the service. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk with your God. The Lincoln Memorial is filled with all kinds of words such as these: that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people and by the people shall not perish from the earth. It also has these words: as was said 3,000 years ago, it must be said again, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And the Jefferson Monument also includes these words: God who gave us life gave us liberty. Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed the conviction that these liberties are the gift of God? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever. All kinds of wonderful words and emblems and pictures and scenery that you might find in our nation's capital about a supreme being, a God. But I wonder sometimes, is it the understanding of our early fathers? Is it the understanding of today's generation of who the true God really is? While those are nice words and nice symbols and nice pictures, do we understand the God of forgiveness and love as we find here in the psalmist's words of Psalm 33? It would be wonderful for us to have the freedoms that we enjoy for as long as we shall live. We don't want to leave those freedoms that we have. We enjoy those freedoms. It'd be wonderful if we had a strong economy forever, a strong army, a strong healthcare system, and the list goes on and on. Those are all wonderful needs to share and enjoy. But is there anything more important than the need for God's forgiveness and love? I pray that you understand that there is no greater need than that. The need for God's forgiveness and love is found in the pages of the psalm and throughout all the pages of Scripture. May we be blessed by our God as a nation for his forgiveness and love. We are reminded of that great love as he was willing to pay the debt, a debt we could not pay, a sacrifice that had to be made for the sins of the whole world. And he made that sacrifice on a cross as he told them in John's gospel today that he would set us free. If you truly are repentant of your sins and trust in me as your Savior, you are free indeed. That glorious freedom is ours because he paid the debt. Our nation's debt will probably never be paid off, but our debt of sin has been totally paid completely by our Savior Jesus. That's good news. In Christ, we are all forgiven. Christ says, I paid it in full. I wash it clean in my blood. As you come to the Lord's Supper today, you receive that forgiveness of your sins as he pours out his lifeblood for you for eternity. What a true blessing it is from our God, his forgiveness and love. Martin Luther said that in a small catechism, didn't he? Christ redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death. All this he did that I should be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. As Christians living in America, we have the privilege of receiving those wonderful gifts from our God on the pages of Scripture, as we read our Bibles and not have the threat of having those Bibles burned or taken away from us. We have the enjoyment of gathering in public worship or online streaming to know that we are living in a place and an age where we can still worship our triune God and receive his forgiveness and love. As we live our lives as Christian people, letting our light shine in a dark world, we are reminded that our sacrifice, while great and many, can't compare to the sacrifice our Savior made on the cross and proven by his resurrection from the grave. President Lincoln warned us some years ago when he wrote these words. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. Is that true today? Have we forgotten God? Perhaps some have. I pray we never will. I pray that God would continue to shower his grace on us, his mercy on us, his kindness to us, his scriptures to us, as we revel in the freedoms we have with his forgiveness and love. May God bless our country, our nation, as he's blessed us with all kinds of benefits, and most importantly, with his forgiveness and love. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.